Nation, Manx Radio.
This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service.
Manx Radio.
On the programme today, we're taking a deeper look to see what events 2,000 years ago, which are still at the very core of Christian belief, might be saying to our modern world. We'll do this in music, and in a moment we'll hear a joyous local performance of the great Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Sun, performed by the lay clerks and choral scholars of the cathedral in Peel. But first, we welcome back the Right Reverend Mark Davis, the Bishop of Middleton in Manchester, who is also taking care of the Anglican Church on the island until the appointment of a permanent Bishop of Soder and Man.
Happy Easter, Judith, to you and to your listeners. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Last Sunday, you took us from Palm Sunday through the events of Holy Week right up to Good Friday. We talked about Holy Saturday as the time of waiting. Last night, it all changed with the service of light.
Absolutely so. And what an amazing service that is. As we move from that place of darkness, of waiting, to the kindling of new life, that fire is lit. The Easter candle is lit from it. Christ is risen, the proclamation, the greatest news the world will ever hear, that the tomb of Jesus Christ is utterly, totally and completely empty. And for one reason only, Jesus Christ is alive. He's conquered death. He's with us. And that's why Alleluia is always our Easter song.
Thank you.
The Great Easter Hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Sun. And my thanks to Dr. Peter Littman, Director of Music at St. German's Cathedral in Peel, who sent us this recording featuring the cathedral's lay clerks and choral scholars, with organist Stuart Corry and trumpeters Ash Cole and Rhino Potgeiter. The arrangement is by Tom Kirkland, and that recording was made in the Corrin Hall in Peel, whilst the cathedral is currently closed for refurbishment. So, what did happen on that first Easter day? Here's the story, told through the eyes of Mary Magdalene, a follower of Jesus who'd seen him die a hideous death by crucifixion, had watched as his broken and lifeless body was taken down from the cross, and had seen it placed in a borrowed tomb and the entrance sealed with a huge stone and guarded by two Roman soldiers.
It was just getting light. I'd arranged to meet Mary, James's mother, and Joanna to finish embalming Jesus's body before the weather got too hot. Sometimes the bodies are left on the cross, but one of Jesus's secret admirers, Joseph from Arimathea, who was a member of the Jewish council and very influential, had persuaded Pilate to let us take Jesus's body down for burial. Another friend, Nicodemus, had brought some spices, and they'd laid the body in a rock tomb that Joseph had built for his own use. Because the Sabbath started at dusk, they hadn't had time to finish preparing the body, and so we three intended to complete it. I was assuming we could get into the tomb. Hopefully some of the soldiers who Pilate had guarding the tomb would help. Otherwise we would have to find the gardener to assist us. The big round stone blocking the entrance was far too heavy for us women. As we drew nearer to the tomb, it all seemed very quiet. There wasn't a sound, apart from the birds. We made our way through the trees, and there wasn't a sign of the guards. It was eerie. I looked at the tomb, and to my horror, saw that the large stone had been rolled back.
I tread on the grass where the dew lies deep, while the air is clear and the walls are asleep. I tramp on the verge of a dream that's gone. How I miss the Lord of the morning. Morning! How can daylight dawn? Now I miss the Lord of the morning.
We rushed forward. I looked in. It was empty. My first thought was that someone had stolen his body. I couldn't believe it. Who would have done such a thing? Surely no Jew would have done it. To touch a body would have been to defile yourself, especially on the Sabbath. It must have been the Romans. But why would they do it? Perhaps one of Jesus' friends had taken the body away and buried it somewhere else without telling us. Perhaps Jesus had not died, but simply fainted on the cross and then come to in the cool of the tomb. But that's ridiculous. We all saw the soldiers stab him with a spear. He wouldn't have had the strength after days without food and a scourging, as well as 3 hours on the cross, to move that enormous stone. It would take 3 or 4 men at least. I panicked. You stay here, I said to the other two. I will run to tell Peter and John. I told them someone has stolen the body. They rushed off, and John, being the faster runner, got there before Peter and me. When we arrived back at the tomb, John was looking in at the entrance. Peter rushed straight in.
I tread on the grass where the dew lies deep, while the air is clear and the world's asleep. I tramp on the verge of an endless dawn, for I am the Lord of the morning. Morning, darkness now has gone, and I am the Lord of the morning.
I looked closely, and there were the clothes that had been wrapped around the body. The cloth covering his face had been folded up neatly. It was almost as if the body had mysteriously evaporated without disturbing the wrappings. We sat for a while discussing what could have happened. Then John and Peter went off to tell the others. Through the early morning light, I saw a figure approaching through the trees. It's probably the gardener come to do some watering, I thought. I called to him. Excuse me, you haven't moved the body from this tomb, have you? He moved closer to me. I looked up. He seemed familiar. Then he said, Mary. I just knew it was Jesus. I reached out to embrace him as I always did when we met, but he stepped back. Don't touch me, Mary, he said. Go and tell the others I have been raised from the dead. Then he disappeared. I was so overjoyed, I can't tell you. I rushed back to the city where the others were talking disconsolately. He's alive, I shouted. He's alive. I've seen him. Are you sure? They asked. Oh, yes, he spoke to me. I could tell. Some of them were thinking that this was a woman having delusions in her grief. And who could blame them? After all, I had a history of mental disturbance until Jesus cast out my evil spirits. But there was no doubt in my mind that it was Jesus. Yes, I hadn't recognized him at first. But when he spoke my name in the way he always did, it could only be Jesus. He was alive.
Lord Jesus, early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen, that you had come back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied and destroyed you.
He is for all of us. You know, he came to those first disciples who were heartbroken, desolate beyond telling, to Mary. You know, the first question of the risen Jesus to Mary, why are you weeping? And today, on this Easter day, wherever people are weeping, wherever hearts are breaking, the risen one comes to you with love, with concern, asking, why are you weeping? How are you? For those who are rejoicing, whose hearts are full of joy for all kinds of reasons, the risen one comes with blessing and love. To each and to every one of us, he comes in the joy and the beauty of Easter.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Alleluia.
Sons of men and angels say.
Alleluia.
Raise your joys and triumphs high.
Alleluia.
Sing ye hymns, thou earth reply.
Alleluia.
Redeeming work is done.
Alleluia.
Fought the fight, the battle won.
Alleluia.
Vain the stone, the watch, the seal.
Alleluia.
Christ hath burst the gates of hell. Again, our glorious King.
Alleluia.
Where, O death, is now thy sting.
Alleluia.
Once he died, the souls to save.
Alleluia.
Where's thy victory, boasting grave?
Alleluia.
Thank you.
another great resurrection hymn from Maddy Pryor and the Carnival Band. But the reality for many people is that Easter is little more than the first main bank holiday of the year.
What comes to your mind when I say the word Easter?
Rabbits.
Eggs.
Eggs.
What does Jesus' death mean to you?
Not very much, because I'm not religious.
I don't really think about it, to be honest, with you.
He died, and it was unfortunate, personally to me, that I don't believe.
I agree with the whole idea, I believe the whole idea, not particularly that version of events, I don't think. I agree with some kind of religious view, probably Christian view, I suppose.
What does his death mean to you?
Nothing. Not a lot, I don't really follow that.
Hi, I'm Janice Richardson and I'm Head of Beauty Therapy and Hairdressing. The courses we offer provide students the opportunity to learn skills such as nail extensions, facials, eyelash tintings. The industry's always evolving, there's always a new technique coming out. Clients are always hungry to try the next thing.
Hi, I'm Mark Rock. I think we live in a culture where people are desperate to appear good, to look good. People are obsessed with having a transformed appearance. And there's a good side to it, but there's also a bad side.
There's so many makeover shows now, they're always on the TV and accessible to everybody. The general public can relate to the person that the makeover show is about. We're constantly surrounded by images of people looking stunning, whether they're movie stars, pop stars, and we're wanting a little bit of that, aren't we? We always want to try something new.
Just like body confidence and body image.
To make them feel better about themselves.
Moves you from being dissatisfied to more fulfilled.
Seeing the reaction at the end.
You sort of think, I wonder if that could ever happen to me.
I think there's something healthy about being concerned about how you look. But when life is reduced to looking good, that creates profound insecurities and fears in people. If deep down you believe that you're just a bag of chemicals, merely a machine, then you will be prone and prey to the powerful lure that is inane and superficial. But if you believe that you're not a machine, that you are, say, the image of God, that's going to reduce that allure. Real transformation is much, much richer. It's about the whole person.
My name is Beverly Levy-Smith. I was the only black child in all my schools. You know, I hated standing out, and this made me very rebellious. I left home, got involved with really bad company, ended up serving my first prison sentence at 18 for bank fraud, my second prison sentence at 21. For importing drugs from America, and I got involved in all sorts of different things, shoplifting, you know, I laundered money for the Yardies, even ran brothels, many things that I should not have got involved in. I knew that if I didn't change, I would die. What really turned my life around was when I had a really serious car accident where I should have died, and God's grace stepped in and I survived. So I came back and my life's never been the same. When you come to Jesus, you get a makeover. People say, oh, it's a load of brainwashing. Well, it is. It washes all the rubbish out. It makes you beautiful from inside out. You know, I've been brought back to life.
On Easter, we are thinking about Jesus who came back from the dead. The resurrection is a powerful message to all the death, decay, misery and vileness that we bump into all the time. This isn't just about a kind of superficial makeover. It's about a really deep, powerful and healing change. The final answer is a renewed world, a renewed creation. Happy Easter.
Looking back at his life on earth, I suppose in many respects Jesus could be seen as something of a failure. He was born into poverty and died like a common criminal. For most of his life, he worked as a humble carpenter in an obscure town called Nazareth. He didn't write any books, didn't have a family, didn't even travel very much. Most of the time, he seemed happiest wandering through the small towns and villages surrounding the coast of Galilee, preaching to the poor and unimportant. He didn't even have many friends. In fact, they all eventually abandoned him, and one of them even betrayed him. He was nailed to a cross in between two thieves, and while he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property that he had on earth. There were no wreaths or flowers at his grave, just a crown of thorns. Yet 3 days later, he was alive again, just as he'd promised, and that's the power of that very first Easter. When through his death and resurrection, Jesus took the punishment our sins deserve and made it possible for us to know God. You see, Jesus was and is the only way to God. His coming into the world proves that God cares and wants to get to know us all. This friendship with God is like a wonderful gift. Whoever, wherever you are, Jesus is for you.
To put your trust, your complete trust, in someone or something, and to be able to do it, is a very precious gift. And the risen Christ says, "Trust me." All you who worry, all who are concerned, all you people who are carrying so much burden that you feel you can't carry it any longer or any further, well, come to me. No matter if you're worn out with worry, I'll give you the rest that the world can't give you.
Goes on. Come and see. It's the invitation to me and to you and to the whole world each Easter day. Come and see. Come and experience Easter. The resurrection life. Come and see. Come and experience it. It's wonderful.
Bishop Mark, a very, very happy Easter to you.
And to you, Judith, and to your listeners. May God bless you and grant you all Easter joy.
Word there from Bishop Mark Davis, who's now a regular visitor to the island from his home diocese in Manchester, as he takes care of the Anglican diocese here until a new Bishop of Soda and Man is appointed. And yes, you did also hear a wise and comforting thought from the late John Kenyuck, mixed with a little of the Easter Hallelujah, another recording made a couple of years ago by the choristers of St. German's Cathedral in Peel. And now we finish with a look at our notice board, beginning with services later today. Bagarrow Chapel have a service this afternoon at 2:30, and just a reminder that Sunday services in Bagarrow are now every fortnight. Abbeylands Chapel invite you to join them this afternoon at 3:00 for an Easter Sunday service led by Reverend Rebecca Ingruel. And there's an Easter communion at Dorby Church this evening at 6:30, with tea and cakes after the service and a warm welcome for everyone. On to tomorrow, and there'll be a collectibles, vintage and antiques fair in St Paul's Church Hall in Ramsey, open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Café San Paolo will also be open, serving refreshments in the church lounge, and admission is only 50 pence. Bank Holiday Monday is also Super Monday in the lounge in Colby Methodist Church. Open from noon to 1:30, all are welcome to pop in for homemade soup with fresh bread, followed by tea or coffee. No charge, but donations to cover costs will be welcomed. Orrisdale Chapel invite you to their Easter celebration tomorrow, Easter Monday, at 6:30. The chairman is Gordon Clegg, David Cretney is the guest speaker, and his topic is The Adventures of an MHK. Eric Kelly will provide the music, and donations of food for the Bring and Share supper will be most welcome. The event is free, but any donations will be used for the upkeep of the chapel. On now to Saturday, April the 6th, and there's an open day at Ballykilferrick Methodist Chapel. Pop in for a cuppa and a chat. The chapel will be open and refreshments will be served between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. next Saturday morning. And as the 6th is the first Saturday in April, the Glenmay Craft Market will be open again from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre. Homemade produce and handicrafts and so much more, all by local artists. As always, it's free entry, and you'll also be able to buy homemade light lunches, bacon baps, hot drinks and cakes. Just head for Glenmay and look out for the bunting and the banners. And we finish with a look ahead to next Sunday, April the 7th. Castletown Metropolitan Silver Band will be in Castletown Methodist Church to give a concert starting at 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. Admission is free, but donations for church funds would be welcome. There'll be light refreshments and a raffle too. And finally, the Mariners Choir will be in Port St Mary Methodist Church on Sunday the 7th for a service starting at the usual time of 6:30. And I'm afraid that's all that we have time for now. But I'll be back later in our virtual lounge tonight from 9 o'clock onwards with our usual mix of easy listening music, your requests and dedications. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and happy Easter day and a very good morning.